Ecclesiastes chapter 7 again tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I began this message on Sunday morning. I'm going to continue it tonight, but I'm still not going to get through it. How many of y'all are shocked by me saying that? Would you written? Probably nobody, right? My sermons are mini series, it seems like. But we've come to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'll bring you up to date with where we are here. I want to bring you and give you several other things here. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 11. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on chapter 7, verse 11, down through verse number 29. But I'm only going to read through verse number 19, because that's as far as we'll get tonight. Look at verse 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness. There is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Again, if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the first three words in verse 11. It's the words, wisdom is good. Wisdom is good. This is part two to this message that I've began on Sunday morning. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless tonight? Help us as we come around your word now. May you calm our hearts, our spirits. May we understand what you're saying to us. And may you deal with us thoroughly. Would you speak to us clearly? Help our hearts to be ready to receive what you want to say. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through tonight. If there's anything hindering you in my life, forgive me, remove it, get it out. Pray for the nursery and the nursery workers and the Cadets for Christ program, the Cub Cadets and the first through sixth graders there, that you'll bless that program as it gets started tonight. And help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text, wisdom is what's on display for our attention. Solomon makes a statement in verse 11 that wisdom is good. This word good here means it's beautiful. It means it's best. It means it's better. It's bountiful. It's pleasant. It's precious. And it's prosperous. And throughout these verses, verses 11 down through verse 29, we see just different ways how true wisdom that comes from God is truly all of these things. It is beautiful. It is best. It is better and bountiful and precious and pleasant and prosperous. I remind you just by means of introduction that the Word of God clearly tells us in the book of James that there are two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom that's not from above, that the Bible calls earthly, sensual, devilish. It's jealous and unkind. That's wisdom from below. But then the Word of God tells us in the book of James that there's also the wisdom from above that comes from God Himself. Well, this wisdom that Solomon's talking about that the Bible identifies as good is the wisdom from above. It's the wisdom that comes from God. And as we look at this, wisdom has been defined as the quality or state of being wise. It's been defined as knowledge of what is true or right, coupled or together with just judgment as to action. It means to be discerning. It means to have insight. Dr. David Gibbs, if you remember him saying this when he was here, he said wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. And oh, how we need this wisdom from God. I wonder today, do we desire it? Do we want it? This wisdom, I remind you, is found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Colossians 2:3 talks about the Lord, says, "In whom," Christ, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Therefore, this wisdom that we're talking about is available to those who are the children of God. In other words, if you're saved, and I trust everybody here is, if you're not, today's the day of salvation. But if you are saved, you know the Lord, you are a candidate for this wisdom that is good. This wisdom that only comes from God. Now, in these verses before us, there are several reasons that Solomon, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, gives. This is why it's good. It is good because, and we're looking at these things. The first thing we notice here, and by the way, I remind you here that my goal in this particular passage of Scripture and in this sermon, the goal is that we fall on our face, even if you can't literally get down on your knees, but that it's a heart attitude that we desire, we crave, we want, we ask God for this wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. You know, God wants us to have this wisdom. And may I say this to us? We need this wisdom. Desperately need this wisdom. I'm talking about the wisdom of God coming down to us, and He's showing us how to live life, what to do, what not to do, when to do it, when not to do it. The wisdom from above that comes from God. This is what we need, and it is good. Let me give you several reasons. These first are just a repeat. I'm just going to tap them on the head. Number one, wisdom's good, number one, because it profits more than an inheritance. We preached this Sunday morning. That's found in verse 11. An inheritance, not everybody gets one on earth, but everybody can have wisdom. And it's better than an inheritance because an inheritance without wisdom is not good. But wisdom with an inheritance is good. So we see it's good because it profits more than an inheritance. Number two, it's good because it protects more than money. You know, there's only so much that money can do. It's interesting right here in verse number 12 that the Bible says money is a defense, but the Bible says this wisdom also is. In other words, money can protect you to a certain degree, but there are certain things that money cannot protect you from. But wisdom not only protects you in this life, but it introduces you to the life beyond. And we see that wisdom is good because it protects more than money. Number three, it's good because it ponders God's work. This was in verses 13 to 15, where we learn that God can be in the crooked things as much as the straight things. We learn Sunday morning that God can be in the adversity as much as He's in the prosperity. And this wisdom from above, this wisdom that is good, it doesn't blame God, it trusts God. Even when life makes no sense, it realizes God is in control and God can turn this for my good. That's the wisdom that is good. The fourth thing, and we just got started with this, still tapping it on the head here, but the fourth reason why wisdom is good is found in verses 16 to 18, and that is because it promotes humility, it promotes righteousness, and it promotes the fear of God. Now, I talked to you about humility, but let me read these verses to you. Look at verse 16. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? I preached on that Sunday morning, just tapping it here. This is the wisdom promoting humility. This is not saying, now don't you go overboard in being righteous, okay? In other words, he's saying don't be over righteous. What's that mean? Does that mean, well, you can live for God, but don't go overboard about it? Is that what he means? No. What this means is this, just though you're living right, that doesn't mean you're any better than anybody else. In other words, this wisdom that is good from above that comes from God does not boast about itself. It's not proud about how it's living right. It's humble. Now, that's where we pick up here. The second thing it promotes is found in verse 17. And that is, it promotes righteousness. Look at verse number 17. Now, this is the opposite of what he just said in verse 16. Be not righteous overmuch. Look at verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? In a nutshell, what he's saying here, he's saying, now listen, verse 16, if you're living right, don't be proud about it. But for sure, don't turn in the opposite direction. For sure, don't turn from righteousness to wickedness. What is he saying here? See, after he mentions for one not to be overwise, he turns to the other extreme. And he says, don't be overmuch wicked and don't be foolish. Now, folks, this is just like don't be overmuch righteous was not him saying don't go overboard for Jesus. This is not a justification of a little wickedness either. In other words, he's not saying, hey, you can be a little wicked, just don't be much wicked. That's not what he's saying here. See, I like it the way that one commentator put it. He said, this is not to be understood as if he allowed a lower degree of wickedness, no more than the prohibition of not letting the sun go down upon a man's wrath in Ephesians 4:26 permits him to keep his wrath all day long, okay? In other words, just because the Word of God says, don't you go to bed mad at each other, that doesn't mean, well, he's saying I can be mad at somebody all day long. It's not, don't make it say something that it's not really saying here. What he's saying is this, even though wisdom does not flaunt itself, it does not flaunt its righteousness, it will not run in the opposite direction either. In other words, true wisdom not only encourages one to be humble, but it encourages one to live a life of righteousness. You know, there's a lot of wickedness and foolishness going on today. Amen or not? I mean, seriously, all you've got to do is turn on the news and you see wickedness and foolishness everywhere, even among God's people. The wisdom that is good is not involved in this. Let me ask us all a question. Are we living as a wise man or a foolish man? Now, there's no in between. You cannot have one foot in wisdom and one foot in foolishness. It's impossible. I wonder today, when you look at your life and how you're living, if you're living right, it should not cause you to put out your chest and look at me. Wisdom never does that. It should cause you to get on your face and thank God for working in your life. Amen. But on the opposite side of it, the wisdom that comes from God, even though it doesn't boast itself, it will never lead you to a life of wickedness, ever. God's wisdom does not lead contrary to God's will. How is your life in the eyes of God? Put your life under the spiritual microscope, and God is the only one who's looking through it. And by the way, He knows already. What does He see? Does He see a heart that is right with Him? Does He see a life that lines up straight with the will of God? Or does He see somebody living in wickedness? Now, folks, let's not be guilty of thinking, well, I'm not wicked. Because sometimes when you think of the word wicked, it's a strong word, isn't it? When you think of wicked, you think of things like this, people who sell people. They steal somebody's child and sell them to drug traffickers. Now, that's wicked. But now, my bad thought I had today, that's not too bad. No, look here, please. It's both wicked in the eyes of God. And the wisdom that comes from God will cause you to have a desire to live right. I want to ask you this. Do you at least have a desire to live right? Now, nobody's perfect. But do you have a desire to be perfect? Does sin, ungodliness, wickedness, does it repulse you? Or do you put up with it? Knowing that it's wrong. Knowing that God's not pleased with it. Are you living a life of righteousness? Or are you living a life of wickedness? The wisdom that's good will cause one to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Now, I know this is so elementary tonight. I get it. Who among us doesn't know that we should be living right? You know you should be. I know I should be living right. But are we not guilty of sugarcoating our own sin? Are we not guilty of seeing it in everybody else, but not seeing it in ourselves. Am I the only one in that? I'm telling you, it's so easy to see your fault. But if I'm doing the same thing, it's, well, it's not too bad. No, that's not the wisdom that's good that's talking. That's my flesh that's talking. And I'm telling you here that this wisdom is what we need. Because when God gives us this wisdom, He will put in us a desire to live right. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14, listen to this. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously," there it is, "and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." When somebody is living in accordance to the will of God, under the wisdom of God that we're talking about, they will live godly. Show me somebody who is a Christian and they have sin in their life. They do not have this wisdom that is good. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying here? This is it. This wisdom that is good, that comes from God, it is good because it promotes humility. It promotes righteousness. That's verse 17. Verse 18, the third thing here, it promotes the fear of God. Look at verse number 18. It says in our text in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18, "It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this." In other words, don't miss what I just said. "Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." In other words, the wisdom that is good that comes from God, it promotes humility when you're living right. It doesn't flaunt itself. Look at me. Look at, that's not the wisdom that's good. That's not the wisdom from God. It's humble. Secondly, it promotes righteousness. It causes you to desire to live right. You just want God's smile on your life. Hey, do you not want God's smile on your life? Honestly, if your heart's right with God, you yearn for that. You desire that. And when you have the wisdom that's good, it will promote righteousness. Then it promotes the fear of God. Solomon says in this verse, he said, it's good to take hold of what was just said. And don't let these things go. Grab a hold of them and don't let them go. And then he said, he that fears God, he's going to come forth of everybody else. You know what the word feareth means here? It means to be afraid of. It also means to revere. It's both. You ever heard a preacher say this? I've said it. The word fear here means respect. It does, but it's not the only thing it means. It means to be afraid of. You know what we lost today? You know what we've lost? That's exactly right. We have lost true, genuine fear of God. Let me ask you a question. You afraid of God? Now, thank God you don't have to be afraid to where you can't come to Him. We come to Him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, the way's been made. Amen. We come to Him boldly. But folks, we don't come to Him flippantly. He's God. And we ought to stand in holy fear of Him. This is what wisdom that is good does. It will not cause you to look at God like He's your buddy upstairs. He's not the big man upstairs. He's not just someone I can talk to. No, He is God Almighty. And He wants to be feared. He deserves to be feared. There's no doubt that the wisdom that's good will encourage and lead somebody to truly fear God. Now, folks, when we look around our world today and you see sin running rampant, I could ask, what's the problem? And some people may say it's lack of education or it's lack of self-esteem. However, the problem is people just do not fear God. You know, the Word of God teaches this. As a matter of fact, you don't need to turn to it. Just let me turn to it. But listen to this. In Romans chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 12, listen to this. It says they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Does that not sound like the United States of America? And folks, that sounds like some of our neighborhoods, if you will. Here's what it says, verse 18. You think about all that. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I mean, their throat's an open sepulcher. In other words, death is coming out of their mouth. They're just speaking death. All of this. Destruction of misery in their ways. The way of peace, they don't even know anything about it. Verse number 18, the next verse. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know what that tells me? The reason that it is an open sepulcher, and the reason they're doing what they're doing, and their feet are swift to shed innocent blood, and the reason why they're cursing and blaspheming. God says, here's the reason they don't fear me. And that should not be the case for any of God's children. I ask you a question. Do you really fear God? Before you answer, is there anything He's told you to do that you've yet to do? Is there anything He's told you to stop doing and you're still doing it? Folks, if your answer is yes to either one of those questions, the problem is not, well, it's just the way I was raised. The problem is, excuse me, you don't fear God. And it would be the same case in my life as well. Let me say something to you. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not going to get this far tonight, but another thing about wisdom is it doesn't sugarcoat things. You know what I'm tired of? Sugarcoating. God's sick of it too. It's time that we call it what it is. It is ungodly. It is wicked. God help me, I am wrong. Not, well, Lord, if that was different, then I would be different. Come on. It's time we see God for who He is and fear Him, respect Him. It does mean respect Him, stand in awe of Him, but it also means I'm afraid not to obey Him. Where's that? That's missing today. And we need this. The wisdom that is good promotes God's fear. If one doesn't fear God, he or she does not have the wisdom that's good, from here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Job 28:28 says this, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. Did you hear that? What are we preaching on? Wisdom. Wisdom that's good. Wisdom from God. And the Bible says in Job 28:28, he says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. It's wisdom to fear God. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Did you hear that? If it's against the Lord, it's not wisdom. If it's against the Lord, it's not understanding. And if it's against the Lord, it is not counsel. That verse says there's no wisdom, there's no understanding, and there's no counsel against the Lord. It's been said it's the fear of God that motivates men to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. And I'm telling you, it's the fear of God that motivates the Christian to live for God too. One time many years ago, the king of Hungary found himself depressed and unhappy. He was the king. He sent for his brother, who was a good-natured but rather indifferent king. In other words, he was just happy-go-lucky, who cares? The king said to him, I am a great sinner. I fear to meet God. He's telling his brother this. But the prince only laughed at him. This didn't help the king's disposition any. And though the king was a believer, he knew the Lord. The king had gotten a glimpse of his guilt for the way he had been living lately. In other words, he just wasn't living the way a Christian should live, and he seriously wanted help. In those days, it was customary that if the executioner sounded a trumpet before a man's door at any hour, it was the signal that he was to be led to his execution. The king sent the executioner to the, I'm talking in the dead of night, to sound the fateful blast at his brother's door. In other words, the king had sent this message, I'm afraid of God, I'm afraid to meet God. And the brother just kind of laughed at it. So the king sent the executioner to his door and he blew the trumpet. Can you imagine being the brother? Because when they heard that at their door, it meant they're coming to get me and kill, execute me. The prince realized with horror what was happening. He quickly dressed. He stepped to the door and he was taken by the executioner and he was drugged, pale and trembling into the king's presence, his brother's presence. In an agony of terror, he fell on his knees before his brother and he begged to know how he had offended him. And the king said these words. He said, my brother, if the sight of a human executioner is so terrible to you, shall not I, having grievously offended God, fear to be brought before the judgment seat of Christ? Wow. In other words, he taught his brother a great lesson. You laughed at me saying, I fear God. But you weren't laughing when you thought your life was coming to an end. And you were that afraid of a human being. And I know I've offended God. Should I not be afraid of Him? Friends, we've lost this. It's become too easy to disobey God. It's become, what's the big deal? The big deal is you and I have a date with God. And it's time we fear God. At the end of this book, Ecclesiastes, we'll preach on it later, but at the end of this book, Solomon brings everything down and he says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Wisdom that is good promotes a holy fear of God. And I ask, be careful, but I ask, do you have it? Do you really fear Him? Are you afraid to disobey? That's a healthy, holy fear of God. Now, we shouldn't serve Him because we're afraid of Him. No, no, no. We should serve Him because He deserves our service. He's our God. Look at what He's done. We deserve Him because He's done so much for us. But folks, we also need to be afraid to say no to Him. And the wisdom that is good that comes from God will be standing in the fear of God. There's a final thing for our service tonight. We'll pick up here, God willing, with verse number 20 on Sunday morning. God willing. But the fifth major reason why wisdom is good. We just finished up number 4 now, that it promotes humility, righteousness, the fear of God. But then the fifth reason that it is good is that it provides strength. Look at verse 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Now what does this mean? This verse tells us that wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. If you look up the word mighty there, it means ruler or warrior. That's what it means, a warrior or a ruler. Wisdom, get this. I can't fully explain this because I don't fully understand it, but at least I'm being honest with you and telling you that, right? Somehow, some way, wisdom gives more strength than 10 mighty warriors or 10 rulers inside of a city. In other words, it is more powerful in you than warriors are inside of a wall. It's more powerful in you than 10 rulers who they call the shots ruling the city. I like what one preacher said. I think he explains this in a way to help us understand the meaning of this. He says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1, 7, 9, 10, we've already seen that. And when we fear the Lord, we will not fear any man. There's power in not living in fear. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel? When they were threatened with death by fire, they told King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm paraphrasing this, I'm not quoting, fine, we trust God. He can rescue us if he will, but if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your image. Remember that story? Where'd that strength come from? Where did that strength... I mean, he's looking at, for all practical purposes, the most powerful man on planet Earth. He has made an image, you will bow down and you will burn. And they said, we're not going to do it. They look at him and say, let me tell you something. Maybe they didn't say that. That's probably the hillbilly version, but let me tell you something. We're not going to bow down. Now, God is big enough and he can take care of us. But if he doesn't, be it known, O King, we will not bow to your image. Let me tell you what was speaking. Wisdom. They had the wisdom that's good. And they were not afraid of what man could do. God gave them strength. And the strength God gives outweighs any kind of a ruler and outweighs any kind of a warrior. Makes no difference. God even says if there's 10 of them there, it doesn't matter. Wisdom will give you more strength than that. Let me ask you a question. If you had a choice to have 10 warriors, mighty warriors, or 10 rulers of a city, or wisdom from God, which one would you choose? I know it's easy to say wisdom from God. But folks, in our flesh, will we not want to choose what seems to look like it's going to give us security? Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have 10 armed guards outside of your home or just beg God for wisdom and protect you? You know what wisdom does? I'll take God, fooey on everything else. This is what wisdom does. And one reason it's good is because it provides strength. The wisdom from God gives more strength than mighty warriors and more strength than mighty rulers. And it will cause us to live righteous and holy and humble in the fear of God, trusting Him that I'd rather have Jesus than anything. That's the wisdom that is good. Now, we're still not done. I'm going to pick up right here Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, we need this wisdom. Do we not? I mean, do you want it? More appropriately, do you want Him? Because I remind you, the wisdom of God is not something, it's someone. It's the Lord. He is God's wisdom. The Bible tells us that. Basically, what we're talking about is yielding ourselves to Him. Recognizing that if He doesn't help me, I'm a goner. But if He'll help me, I can stand before warriors and I can stand before rulers. You say, how do I know I have it? Do you fear God? Are you a proud person? Just boastful? Look what I've done. It's all about me. Are you living right? I'm telling you, we need this wisdom. Amen. I hope you agree with that. If you disagree, that's not this wisdom coming out of your mouth. It's something else. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, would you help us tonight? Help us to understand the importance of this, to realize that we desperately need this wisdom from God, this wisdom from above, this wisdom that your word calls good. Help us to have it. We need it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. And I want to ask you first of all, because I never want to take anything for granted. Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you born again? If there's somebody here that does not know for sure that heaven's your home, come, let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. But then, the invitation tonight is similar to Sunday morning. Do you want wisdom? Do you desire this wisdom that God calls good? Do you desire this wisdom that's from above, that promotes humility, righteousness, the fear of God, that gives more strength than mighty warriors and rulers of a city, that's better than an inheritance and protects you more than money? Do you want it? You can have it. It's there for the asking. But you've got to be willing to get things out and let God have full control. Father, take this and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As they play through softly, if God is speaking to you and you want to come and pray and ask God for this wisdom, you come now. Would you do that? Right now is your time. You come on. If the Lord desires you to do this, you come.
Thank you, Pastor. You can go ahead and look this way. If you would, please take out your prayer sheet. We'll highlight a few of our missionaries.